We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley, and you can listen to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen online or on your mobile devices to learn more, and for a full schedule, please go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute. Thank you for joining me today on this beautiful February morning. We're going to be discussing change and how change wants to manifest and how we can help it manifest. And of course, since this is a show about the connectedness between people and the animal kingdom, we're going to be talking about how animals help manifest the changes that perhaps we're overlooking or bring them to light so that we can address them in the way that we're thinking of or perhaps in a better way. So it's a big topic when we talk about change. And the reason it came to light is because January is classically the time when we have New Year's resolutions. And my last show, in fact, was about New Year's resolutions and the goals that we sometimes make in January. Some people like to do that. Some people don't like to do that. There's no right or wrong about that. But the idea is that in January, you know, the theme of change is in the air. It's a time of turning over the calendar. And now we're in February, and we get to look at how well are those changes going for us? Did we like the changes we make, or didn't we like the changes that we make? And so we always have this time in the beginning of February in the United States when the groundhog comes out of the ground and supposedly sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. That is a condition of whether or not then perhaps we're going to have more winter or less winter. It's certainly an interesting idea, but it's also another idea that's behind the tradition of the groundhog and Groundhog Day. And that has to do with when the groundhog emerges, if he sees his shadow, what is the shadow exactly? It's kind of a metaphor, I believe. It's a metaphor for our shadow side, our fears, our darkness. The winter time is the time of our darkness. It's a hard time of year for some people. Other people enjoy it. But it always represents a time for nature where everything is quiet, it's still, it's peaceful, but it's also not changing. It's not vibrant. It's a time when we're hoping, perhaps, that if the groundhog emerges, he'll tell us that change is about to happen, that spring is about to happen, that it's just 6 weeks off and the winter will be shorter. So change is sort of like a new life or a new seeking of life from the springtime. It's how we peek out through the old patterns of winter and find the new patterns of liveliness in the spring. And February is the time when we start to sense that perhaps change is in the air, and we hope for it. So it's a good time to peek out, see our old patterns, and see if we can't find a new happiness. So that's actually the metaphor. If we could leave behind our shadow side, leave behind our fears, make changes that make us feel better about ourselves and our lives, then we would be moving towards happiness. So I like to think of February as a time of groundhog maybe help reminding us that really what we want to seek is a change from what doesn't work to what feels better and does work. So how do we change? You know, I mean, we talk about that, but how do we change? And what do we need to make a change? So it sounds kind of obvious, but the first thing we need to do is evaluate what would make us happy. And that you might think, well, of course. But how often do we pick the thing that makes us happy? For instance, how often do you hear someone say, oh, I'm tired all the time. I'm always working. Or they're noticing that they need to do something different than what they're doing, but they're not talking about, gee, I think I'm going to change my job so that I get better hours so I feel better, so that I'm not tired all the time. We tend to envelop ourselves sort of in the old pattern, and because we're busy keeping up the old pattern is like a big yoke that we have to shoulder every day. We get on our little treadmill and do the same thing every day, and sometimes we forget to just ask ourselves if we're making ourselves happy. For instance, would it make us happy to have more money because money allows the tool of more time? We'd have more freedom if we had more money. Or maybe we'd like more friends or more time spent with friends. Or maybe we would like more physical fitness. Why? Because we feel better when we have good health. So making changes based on all that, like, okay, I want to be happier. It sounds easy, right? I mean, we all ought to be able to do that. But interestingly enough, when I did a little research about this, February often reveals pretty big lapses in our new resolutions that we just made 30 days ago for New Year's Eve. In fact, U.S. News and World Report maintains that 80% of our resolutions actually sort of fall off the wayside and we stop participating in them within a month or 45 days of making them around mid-February. So why is that? If it's so easy to want something like happiness, why don't we do the things that make us happy? And that's a really big topic. I mean, why do these things fail? And so I, as an animal communicator, interestingly enough, am in the business of helping people with change. So that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart because the more I can understand it, the more I can understand human nature and the animal kingdom, the more I can be effective and helpful when people call me up and say, could you please help me with my dog or my cat, for instance, or my horse, or please tell my animal to stop doing something. Please ask my animal to change because he's making me unhappy and he seems unhappy. So this idea for change for me is, well, it's always in my face and it's really interesting because I am always in this very interesting place of watching people try to grasp change, understand it, demand it, push it, allow it, and everybody, based on their personalities and what works for them, have a different way of sort of addressing change. So I feel a little bit like I'm a student of change because whatever it is we do every day, whatever we're drawn to do every day, usually means that we're teaching it on some level to ourselves. We're studying it. So I know that I'm a student of change. And I think that what happens is that people sometimes know what they want, but they don't always know why they want it. So when people call me and say, please stop my dog from, for instance, barking. He barks too much. He's making us all crazy. They've forgotten to maybe think about why they want the dog to stop barking. So that's where there's a disconnect that can happen, and perhaps I can illustrate this with a couple of stories because a story always tells so much and reveals so much in it. But for instance, recently I spoke to a woman who her name was Trisha, and she had recently adopted a really cool dog that she and her husband really loved, Pebbles. Pebbles had come from a breeding farm where she was kept crated probably 24/7 or pretty close to that in a little crate somewhere, and they were having trouble getting her to go outside and go to the bathroom. So when Trisha called me, she said, please help me make Pebbles bark at the door so that she can go outside. So I said, okay, let me see what Pebbles thinks about that idea. So I mentioned to Pebbles that going to the bathroom in their bathroom on the floor wasn't what they enjoyed, and they would like pebbles to change. So pebbles didn't really feel the need to change because she didn't really understand anything that I was talking about. So that was an interesting thing because she found the outdoors to be very scary. She didn't want to go outside ever, actually, because she'd never been outside. So it'd be like if you were raised in a broom closet and somebody said, here's a gymnasium. Go live there now. You'll be have so much more air. You'll have so much more space. It'll be wonderful for you. You might feel kind of freaked out about all that freedom and that space around you because you've grown accustomed to your broom closet. So Pebbles was a bit like that. The freedom of the house was almost too much for her, let alone going outdoors. She wasn't ever allowed outdoors. In fact, when she would approach the front of her crate where a door was, she was told sternly to get back, move away from the door. So for her, it made no sense whatsoever to go to a door and bark at a door to ask to go outside. And she'd never actually had the relationship with anyone where she was allowed to request anything, like, I want to go outside, means that you expect someone to get up, come and open the door, and let you outside. Well, Pebbles had never done anything in her life where she told anybody what to do. She was told what to do. And she had very little freedom, so she had no choices in her life. So really, what Tricia and her husband Tom were asking for was kind of impossible from this dog's perspective. So I suggested that they talk to a trainer, but I also suggested that they work on themselves, maybe standing next to the door, feeding her next to the door, giving her treats next to the door, opening the door, letting her stand there near the door, get a treat, maybe not even go outside. Maybe her husband be outside while she was inside and let the dog walk him back and forth, inside to outside, being petted and treated till she could learn the comfort of the door, and then kind of work in stages from there. And meanwhile, there might be some more accidents that would happen in the bathroom, but that was, you know, like take it one step at a time. So Tricia said, well, my husband won't do that. He doesn't care to do that sort of thing because he gets impatient, which is in fact what Pebbles said was she felt that everybody was impatient with her and she didn't even really understand why. She understood, though, strongly the idea of impatience, and it made her fearful and it just made her want to go find a crate to hide in. It made her want to go back, in other words, to live in her broom closet. So I suggested to Tricia that she and her husband really were the ones maybe that needed to think about changing their resistance to this idea. Like maybe he could be less impatient and she could be less impatient with her husband and everyone could just be patient with each other. In other words, that was really the change that needed to happen, because if that started to happen, then they could work together and find a rhythm to start to fix the problem that involved patience and understanding. Kind people that wanted to make a nice life for this dog. But really what they needed to do was understand that they were missing the boat in the patience department. So that was interesting for her to hear, because she's a mental health care professional. And she laughed. She goes, isn't that funny that it never occurred to me to try patience? Instead, they just wanted me to fix the dog, tell her to stop doing that anymore, when really there were a lot of steps that needed to be had. She needed to learn that she was safe. She needed to learn that she could ask to go out. She needed to learn that it was okay to go outside, that outside was a safe place, and to just spend time outside. So they had a lot of work to do, and they were pretty happy about it because the dog was going to provide them with a why do this change, why practice patience, why work together as a couple, because the dog needed them to. And as she said, sometimes you just need an outside influence like a dog to help you see that you're missing some lesson in your own life that would be really helpful. They had sort of stopped working together as a couple. And as she said, given what she does for a living, she said, you know, that's trouble. That's, you know, that's not how I want my marriage to look. And I'm going to work on this with him so that eventually we can get Pebbles into a happier place with the whole behavioral issues. So that had a really great outcome because there was an awakening in her that said, the patterns that we've been bringing to this problem aren't going to change the problem. If we want to change the problem, we have to change the patterns, which had to do with their impatience. Another case is in my own life. I have to tell you that people think because I'm an animal communicator that I probably don't have any problems with my animals, but I surely do because as a teacher of this sort of wisdom, of course, I have to learn my own lessons, which sometimes is a little bit of trouble. And my partner and I, we recently moved, and we've had a lot of chaos with all the moving, lots of boxes everywhere and deadlines and unexpected disasters that have to, fires that have to be put out, I guess is the best way to describe those. So we're getting our dogs used to a different environment from a farm where they came from before, where everything that was that they could see out the windows belonged to us. So anybody that was in their vision when they looked out the window was an invader, so they would bark at that person or that dog. But now we live in a neighborhood, and we're excited about that. But if they look out the windows and bark because they think, we've got invaders right on our front yard, but in fact, it's neighbors with their own dogs walking their dogs. So we needed to start to teach them to go out quietly, come back in, and not bark. So I was starting to chase the dogs around a little bit, like, come over here, let me put your collar on, I'm in a hurry, I'm stressed, I've got a lot of things to take care of, let me put this collar on, and the dogs would start to sort of shy away from me because, well, my energy was intense. I wasn't calm. I knew I wasn't calm. So I would just be like, look, could you please just stand still? I want you to change. But really, I was the problem. So my partner wisely said to me, I think you should just stand still with the collar and breathe and let them come to you. Call each one over. We have three. And let them know that we're going to put the collars on and go for a walk. And then just stand there and wait for each of them to come for their collar. The collars are color-coded, and they know which collar belongs to each dog. So instead of chasing them and, like, stressing them, he suggested just stand there and ask them to put their face inside the collar. So what a revelation. Pretty obvious, right? Because within, I don't know, one time of doing that, they know that when we get the collars out, they're going to go for a happy walk around the neighborhood, and we all love the happy walks. So that's our why. Why do we do this? Why does this pattern work? Because there was a lot of joy in the result. If you put the collar on, we'll go outside and we'll have fun. Right? So instead of going from the pattern that I was in, which was really, let's face it, I was being reactive. I wasn't being proactive and suggesting that they stand still. I was chasing them around like they were infants or something. And so they were responding by getting more and more skittery or avoiding my eyes or not really looking at me. Well, who would want to look at me? I was being a little bit of a crazy person. Well, you know, that moving does that too. I'll give myself a little bit of slack for that. But we had gotten reactive and stopped being proactive. And so instead of saying, like when the dog skittered away, I would say to myself, oh, now what? Now what's going on? Can't you just stand still, please? I want you to change your anxiety because I'm anxious. Instead, what I needed to say was, how about this? Why don't we all calm down? Why don't you put your face in this collar and we'll go for a nice walk? How lovely. And when we get back from the walk, everybody will be happier and quieter and you won't want to look out the windows and bark because you'll have been out there and you'll start to understand that our world has changed. And because it's changed, we're going to have to do a little behavior adoption. But if we were calm, that behavior shift would be simple, right? When we're anxious, it's really hard to change our behavior shift. So this level of calmness that I'm talking about, where you just say, I'm going to own this change. It's a little uncomfortable to change. But so what? The outcome where all the dogs are happy and I'm happy, my partner's happy, and we all go for nice walks together. We're all fitter at the end of it. That was the why behind the change. So it had to do with, really, me realizing that anxiety wasn't putting out more fires. That was my true problem, right? Because when you move, there's just as you need two or three of you to make a day happen. There's so many places you get pulled, as well as doing your normal work job and your work life, that you forget that it doesn't help you to multitask like crazy. You just get, well, running in circles. So why not stop that and start to just ground yourself, calm down, and ask for what you want? Sounds silly. It sounds obvious. But honestly, I teach this stuff, and I was having trouble with it. So you're listening to Laura Rowley, and you can connect on my Facebook page through my Facebook page, which is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley, which is the same name as the TV, the radio show that you're listening to now. And also, my website for readings or workshops that I facilitate can be reached with laurarowleyhealer.com. And you can go on there and find out how you can reach me to have some help from my perspective on how you can institute change and happiness with your animal. And thank you for listening. This is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Network is the media partner for Omega Institute.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's L-A-U-R-A-R-O-W-L-E-Y healer.com.
Darkest hours to brightest moments. Transformation from despair to happiness. And chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley, where we explore the interconnectedness of the animal kingdom and mankind, how we help each other. So the topic today is how we help each other change. And through that change, we're looking for happiness. We're looking for the elimination of old patterns so that we could find new patterns that emerge that work better for everyone. So it really is just trying to see it that way so that we can not think, oh, I don't want this to be this way. Oh, there's that dog doing that stupid thing again. Oh, I hate it when the cat scratches my furniture. Oh, he's peed. Oh, he's barked. Oh, she's done this wrong. That kind of doesn't help. And as I just told the story on myself, I even do that sometimes myself. However, what helps is to recognize the pattern and ask yourself, well, what would make me happier? And why do I want that to happen? Why do I want to have this pattern change? Well, we're all looking for happiness because if we get happy, the animal gets happy because we stop stressing out and we stop stressing the animal out. So, and sometimes this phenomenon can even happen with physical ailments. I also do a lot of work with people because I have the ability to be a medical intuitive. So I can often see what pattern of medical application will help an animal move out of an illness. So people call me up because they're confused. They're looking for some sort of a consistent approach with a physical, maybe chronic situation. One example of this would be Joan called me up about her lovely dog, Piper. And poor Piper came to Joan kind of late in his life. He'd been rescued. She didn't know anything about his previous history, but he had big patches of hair gone above his tail. He chewed on his feet constantly and just itched and itched and itched. So Joan was super responsible and had gone to, a nutritionist, a Western traditional veterinarian, an Eastern Chinese traditional veterinarian, an acupuncturist. So she's gotten this whole body of information, which was in conflict with itself. Like, there were so many different avenues that she could do that all she did all day long was feed him the Chinese herbs, get him to the doctors for this appointment, take him over here for that appointment, don't feed him this, be careful to do that, cook his food, eat his food raw, don't cook his food. She didn't know what she should do. She was just like, everybody's giving me different advice. So, of course, part of it is that she had actually gone to a lot of different people who have different perspectives to get advice. So people were giving her conflicting advice because she kind of went to a lot of different people and asked them for it. So I pointed it out to her. And when I work with an animal, I can see from their energy field, when the person starts to explain to me which path they are thinking of following, the energy field will sort of light up and respond if that's the better path for that body. And every body is different. Like, whether you're an animal or you're a person, some people do great with Chinese medicine. Other people are better going to a Western doctor or having a surgery. So I don't have any preconceived notions about what is right or wrong. I just, as a medical intuitive, can say, I see that this body prefers a certain approach versus another approach. So we reviewed everything that the dog was eating and what she was doing and kind of honed out the things in his diet that he was allergic to and came up with a plan. And about 4 weeks later, she called back and really in a panic. And she said, everything you told me to do, I couldn't stick with it. And I said, well, what do you mean? So we talked about it. And she said, well, I had to change back to what I was doing before because it didn't work. In fact, he might have even itched more. I couldn't tell. I expected it to happen faster. So I pointed out to her, I think the dog is like 8 years old. I said, it took him 8 years to get like this. You might want to give him a week or 10 weeks to get well, like pick a path and a notice that when you keep switching around, you're picking a different path all the time, which the body gets confused by. So, and I think this is good advice. I see this a lot. It's better if you give the body time to calibrate to a new regimen. So whether it's your own exercise program, you know, you're not going to look skinny if you only go to the gym for 4 weeks. It might take you 4 months to really lose body fat. If your dog is allergic to something, when you stop feeding him the thing that he's allergic to and start feeding him healthy food, sometimes a detox starts to happen. And when that detox starts to happen, some of the symptoms get a little bit worse, like the itchy skin, before they get a little better. And I told her it's a little bit like pushing the envelope unnecessarily. Let change happen. Let it take its time. Give yourselves consistent effort and see how it all works out once you've spent a little time evaluating it. Don't keep changing it this way and changing it that way. The body just doesn't know what to do. It's a bit like if you were on a boat and someone's drowning in the water right next to you. So you throw them the lifeboat raft and you kind of miss and you say, swim to it quick, you know, I'll help you. And then you get concerned. They start to swim and you think, oh, they're not doing well. They're not getting to it fast enough. I'm going to pull it back and pull it out and try throwing it nearer to them. But the wind catches it. And then they've got to swim back to where you just moved it. So you wouldn't do that to someone. You would throw the life raft out. You'd help them get to it and you leave it alone. In other words, if the swimmer wants to get to the life raft, he'll get to it, he'll crawl on, and you can pull him in. Pulling it here and throwing it to the other side, that doesn't help. And that's a little bit what it's like when you're trying to institute a change for a physical body, your own or your animal's. Do whatever you need to do, and then wait, evaluate the change, see how it's going. Obviously, talk to your veterinarian and your health professionals about it to make sure you're not making any big mistakes. But if they help to design the plan, work with them and stick to it. As a rescuer, you want to let the body do the million little tiny adaptations it has to do to actually make a change happen. This can be a little bit of a messy process. We have to have a little bit of faith that what we'd started to do will in fact turn into a good thing. If we sprinkle anxiety into that, like, oh, I hope this is going to be okay. Oh, we're a little bit like that person throwing the lifeboat all over the place so that the swimmer can never get to it. Anxiety disrupts the nervous system. The nervous system is the guidance system that the brain uses. It's the canals of, it's the messenger system that the brain uses to talk to the body. So in this case, the dog's itchiness, his nervous system was already a wreck. When you itch like that, you are a wreck. That poor dog was suffering from the itching. So I know she was just trying to do the right thing, but she was making it more intense for the nervous system by being anxious herself. So we laughed about it and continued to touch base with this dog every, gosh, she's so dedicated, every 3 or 4 weeks. We just would have a quick appointment in between her vet appointments to make sure we were gaining ground and that, in fact, he was getting better and that he was happy with the change, which, of course, reduced her anxiety because she wanted to make sure she was doing the best for him, and she was. And one topic that kept coming up for she and I as we would discuss this is how trust is part of the process of change. Trust. So in that case, who wasn't she trusting? So she wasn't trusting all the different professionals because she kept going to different ones and asking them their opinion. Instead of saying, I like this Chinese medicine person. I'm going to trust this process. I'm going to stick with it until it tells me otherwise, until it shows me that it's not going to work. Or I'm going to trust the veterinarian that I went to and do the traditional veterinarian practices and give them a chance to let that work. So she had to sort of stop trusting in the process. So I asked her, you know, to think about that. Like, how would she be happier, you know, trusting or not trusting? It turns out that when you are not trusting, you're often doing it so that you think you won't be fooled. If I gather all this information from everybody imaginable, I'll have all the information I need, and then I can make the right decision. But the fact is, she's an amateur. She's not a medical professional. And it would really be better to just pick one, walk that walk with that one person, let this body try to heal, give it some time. If it doesn't work, then switch. So ultimately what she needed to do actually was maybe trust herself. And I think that's where she was falling down, because she wasn't trusting herself enough to pick one of the professionals, to pick the path that would work the best. Right? So trust yourself when you're making a change. And secondly, trust the animal that you're working with, that they will understand what's necessary, or physically heal. Healing happens. Like, there's no reason to not heal. Everyone will heal if we choose better food, choose better medicine, do exercise, get good behavioral things intact, good exercise programs. So healing happens, and our need to push the timeline isn't always helpful. In fact, it's harmful, because you're basically tweaking that nervous system all the time and telling it, oh, we're not going to do that anymore, we're going to do this. That doesn't help it. So it's about trusting the process of change and your reason why you want the change. She wanted the dog to be happy. She wanted the dog to feel less stressed and more comfortable. So why not just calm down and allow that? See if it works. So the more she worked on that, the more she realized that she did that all the time and with everything. And she laughed at herself a lot. She had a great sense of humor about the whole thing. We both learned a lot, and the dog eventually actually continues to improve on a monthly basis, slowly, but continues to improve, which is a huge relief to us all. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley, and this is Dream Vision 7 Radio. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute.
If your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life, what would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega's Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Do you sometimes feel like your life is a series of problems to be solved rather than an adventure to open to? Do your challenges often bring up fear, worry, anxiety, and confusion rather than empowering you to your core? Explore powerful tools and techniques offered by Mary O'Malley in her new book, What's in the Way is the Way, and experience ease, peace, joy, and a deep trust in this amazing adventure called life. To find out more about what Mary offers, visit her website at maryomalley.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
This is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Thank you for joining me. We're discussing change and how to get it done, how to institute it. And we're discussing how it's always best when it comes from a place of happiness, because we know if we make the change, we'll be happier. And sometimes we lose track of that goal. We sometimes think that what we're doing in our moment is what we should continue to do the next moment. And we fail to see that if we just paused, saw that it wasn't working, and thought, well, what in this moment would make me happier, or make my dog happier, make my cat happier? Then often, we could do this little subtle shift. It would be a really tiny, minuscule shift, and we would end up happier, and so would they. So people get into patterns on their daily lives and a way of doing things that might have worked during one time slot of your life, but maybe it's not working for you anymore, and you're just not noticing that. Like my story about myself with my move, I kind of just hadn't noticed that I was getting very reactive, and I'd forgotten about being proactive. My dog's obvious stress at my behavior was a clue that I should have noticed quicker than I did, probably. It took me a couple weeks to notice that they were starting to stress out because I was stressed. But I'd gotten so used to stress that I didn't even notice I needed a change. I was speaking to a woman who has this cool dog named Domino. It's a beautiful black and white Border Collie, and he's a really top-line agility dog. So in agility, if you're not familiar with that sport, the person that trains the dog goes out into this field of play, and the dog jumps and runs through tunnels and does all kinds of complex, very athletic things in a certain order and gets a certain score based on speed and how well he listened and how little you had to do to get the job done. So it takes years to train them, and it's very fun and it's very interactive. Most dogs that do agility really love it because there's a lot of play that goes on with it. They like jumping the jumps and running through the tunnels, and then they look at you to see if they're supposed to turn left or turn right. So she and Domino were first rate, been doing this for years. Her whole social life was developed about it, and her name is Luann. And Luann and Domino were kind of like known factors on the scene of agility because they were hard to beat, and clearly had fun together. So Domino got hurt. So the reason that Luann phoned me, I had been helping this pair for years with Domino's performances and helping them get through humps in their training whenever they got stuck or were misunderstanding one another. When they were having a miscommunication, they would phone me and I'd have the pleasure of working through stuff with them so that they could understand one another. But Domino got hurt from too much training and too much turning, because it is a job that has them turning fast and sprinting, turning fast and sprinting. So he hurt his front legs, his ankles. And so she was advised, Luann was advised by a specialist who does veterinary sort of sports medicine, that Domino just needed some time off. So Luann called me and wanted me to explain to Domino why they weren't going to train. It was just until he started to feel better. And he said, that's good. I'm fine. I just want to be with you anyway. So I'm fine with not training. So then she said, okay, so Laura, I just want to review with you, like, this is what I'm going to do with him. I'm going to take him to an acupuncturist. We're going to have some chiropractic care done. We're going to do that every couple weeks. And then we're going to have laser therapy done on the back of his ankles. And we want to send him to a swimming pool and start him swimming so that he can keep his muscles in shape without damaging the ankles any further. So the swimming pool will help him rehab. And so she starts this long list of things that she wants to do. So meanwhile, Domino is saying to me, I don't want to do any of that. So I'm on the phone with her. That's how I do all my readings. And the image of the dog is sort of in my mind's eye, which is kind of an odd idea, I know. But it's what happens to me when I start to talk to Luann. Domino's sort of essence shows up. And he was showing me frowning. He had dropped his tail. His ears were kind of flat against his head, basically looking at me, going, that doesn't make me happy at all. Meanwhile, she's joyfully going on about all these lists of things, and she wants me to review them with her so that we pick the best things to make Domino happy. So I finally just said to her, Luann, I think stop with the list for a minute here. You're making a list that sounds more like you're training him some more. Like the vet said, he needs time off. What you're suggesting is an aggressive rehab program. And that might work for some dogs because all of those tools, acupuncture, laser, rehab, are fabulous tools. But this dog doesn't want to do it. The dog actually wants time off because he's in pain and he doesn't feel great. She was just crestfallen because she wanted to do her best. You know, that was what she thought. And her best is to train hard, work hard, and do, which is, of course, how the dog got hurt, as I pointed out. He was overdone. He needed some time off. So in other words, she needed to change her idea about what it meant to have a life with Domino. Domino was getting older. Her whole social life was dictated by Domino's schedule. So maybe she needed to look at just taking Domino with her, but not, you know, running him through the course. Or visiting with her friends that do agility without necessarily bringing Domino along. Because sometimes once agility dogs get used to seeing courses, they get excited and they want to go out there and they get anxious if they can't. So she had to really think maybe her whole daily schedule and what she did, because it meant a lot to her. It was a really fun thing for her. So what was hard for her and what she was failing to see is that probably she needed to find a different way to make herself happy if Domino couldn't do this anymore because his ankles were hurt. So that could be, you know, a puppy that does it that's younger. It could be a lot of things. It didn't mean the end of what she was doing, but maybe a different way to look at it instead of a whole other protocol. Domino weighed in here, interestingly enough, because he showed me a picture of Luann. This happens in every reading I ever do. The dog, the horse, the cat, the bird, show me a picture of the person emotionally. Like they see their heart. They see their happiness. And he was showing me that Luann was actually looking at things like pieces of paper and frowning. And so I asked Luann, I said, he's showing me that you're stressing out over some of the things that about this plan you're making that is stressing you out. She goes, well, I'm kind of worried about what it's going to cost. I have been thinking about bills. And I said, well, I don't think this dog really wants you to go in debt over him. He wants to just spend time with you. He'd be perfectly happy laying on the couch with you. So why are you turning this into a nightmare for you? Time will heal this. So back to my story that I told just before the break. She didn't want to trust in the process that time will heal everything, really, in a physical body, such as an injury. Of course, it can't heal some diseases, but that isn't really anything we can change, right? So why stress about it? So she recognized that she was actually adding to his problems by stressing him out. And she was pretty happy to rethink the whole thing, though someone's somewhat circumspect about doing so. Like, how is her life going to work? She trained with this dog every single day. So she ended up, it was really a nice solution. She ended up finding a fellow competitor who needed help training their young dog, and they were not as good as she was. They weren't as experienced. And so she ended up helping this younger woman with her dog's training. So it still gave her a life and things to participate in that she loved dearly, but Domino got a vacation, which is all he needed. He ended up going back to agility and not re-injuring himself, fortunately. And so they made a lighter schedule for him that was more in alignment with his older body needs. He just couldn't do quite as much as she thought. So that was yet another layer of change that she had to trust in. So it seems hard when we have to make changes, is my point. And it seems like 80% of those times when we decide we're going to make changes, we forget about that and fail. That's what we learned when we read U.S. News and World Report. The people that make resolutions for their New Year's, 80% of the time don't really end up honoring those resolutions. So is it something we should feel bad about? I don't think so. I prefer to see it a different way. I think it's something that we should say, those must not have been a very good resolutions to start with. I was pushing myself for maybe the wrong reason, or pushing my animal for the wrong reason. Maybe what it needs to be connected to is our happiness. And if I decide to just want happiness instead of deciding on a goal, like, say my goal is, for myself, I want to lose 20 pounds. Is that going to make me happy? Well, maybe, but really what I have to do is decide to get happy about going to the gym, maybe, or designing an exercise schedule that would make me happy because I walk with friends, and that's fun for me. In other words, I have to turn it into a lifestyle choice that supports my happiness, the end result of which happens to be that I lose weight because I get healthier, not because I wanted to look thinner or be in the next size jeans down from where I was. So it's connecting it to our happiness, and that's really true with our animals. If we connect their happiness to our goals, then it'll be a win-win situation. So you don't need an animal communicator to tell you what makes your animal happy. You know what makes them happy. What do they jump up and down about when you do? What do they get happy about? And start to think, how can I support that? How can I make changes in my life that will support how happy they are? Because you have them in your life to teach you about happiness. And because we love them, right? We want to make them happy. And so they're very clear with us when they're joyful and they're happy. This one this is the last story, I promise. She had this nice kitty. Cat laid on her lap. She rescued a kitten. And the kitten was a holy terror. I mean, it needed a home. It needed to be rescued. She thought she was doing the right thing rescuing the kitten. And certainly that was a nice thing to do. So she asked me to weigh in with her older cat who had lived there with her for years. His name was Whiskers. How did he like the kitten? And I said, he hates the kitten. He just totally hates the kitten. And she said, oh, I knew that. She said, he hisses all the time. He's stressed out. He's not even coming out from underneath my bed anymore. He used to lay on my lap, and I used to pet him, and we had quiet evenings together. So she knew that Whiskers wasn't happy. So she said, could you tell Whiskers to be nice to the kitten? Well, I asked Whiskers, did he have an interest in being nice to the kitten? And he said, no, I want to just have my life back. I want my house back. And I want my mom's lap to myself. And I don't want to be attacked by a small kitten all the time. I'm not even vaguely interested in changing. So, you know what? I asked her, I said, why do you have that kitten for? She goes, I don't know. I thought I was doing the right thing. I said, do you like having the kitten? Are you happy with that kitten? And she laughed. She goes, no. She said, you know, he claws us. He tortures us all. So I said, well, why don't you just give up on the kitten? You did a beautiful thing. You rescued him. Hooray. You found him a home. Now you've taught him a little bit about living in a house. Let's find him a different house to live in that doesn't have an old cat in it so that he can be the only cat too. So it turns out that kitten liked that idea, and she, in fact, found a peaceful home, which is really what she wanted. She got in touch with her idea of happiness, which she wanted a peaceful home, and so did both cats. So the kitten went and lived elsewhere. Whiskers came out from underneath the bed and got to lay on her lap again. The next conversation we had was much happier because everybody figured out what they wanted, which was actually peace. And she felt peaceful in her heart that she'd actually rescued a cat, given him a new lease on life, and found him a perfect home, too. So there's lots of different ways to make yourself happy. You just have to figure out what they are. And thank you so much for listening to me and for tuning in to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.